Listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg for the local news department. I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is Borough Business. It's our call-in show. You're welcome to call in with a question or comment. Our phone number is 772-3808. And I'm joined in the studio today by Borough Assembly member Eric Castro. We're hoping to have Bob Lynn on the show as well and trying to track him down. So, Bob, if you're out there listening and hear this show, please come on up to the radio station and join us for this discussion. And we're going to talk about tonight's Borough Assembly agenda. At 6 o'clock tonight, the Borough Assembly meets. First off, welcome to Eric. This is your first Borough Business call-in show.
I think it is.
Oh, let me get your right mic on there. How about that one?
I think it is.
Well, welcome to the show. How is it going on the Borough Assembly so far for you? Just a couple months in for your term.
Yeah, you know, it's going good. There's a lot of big items to discuss. A lot of the things coming up, like both with the comprehensive plan, marijuana regulation, there's a lot of history that I'm still kind of working on. So, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to listen to others who know more than I do.
The comprehensive plan is one of the things you'll be voting on tonight in the first reading of an ordinance to adopt that plan. First off, thoughts about the document. It's been under public review for a couple months now, the draft that's been out. Do you have any questions or concerns with the document as you understand it, or issues that you'd like to see changed or different?
Well, you know, I saw that there was a local planning and zoning meeting that just occurred, and that they had brought up a number of amendments that they had proposed. You know, kind of looking through those, and I did want to talk to Liz Cabrera a little bit on some of the locations that they were referring to, say in reference to high density residential areas and this language of tiny house. So there's a couple questions that I have that I need to be able to bring to others to answer better.
About where that would be allowed and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We did have an email sent in from John Mergus earlier today. He wasn't able to call in during this show, but he wanted me to ask a question or two and make a comment through email. So this is what he said. He questioned, shouldn't the residents and landowners outside of Service Area 1 be the decision makers on the land use of that area, such as through an election instead of the Planning Zoning Commission or the Assembly? He says, seems like the local outside residents are outnumbered 10-1. And John also thought there was poor promulgation of the land use process in the comment period for the plan. He said the borough's website is where most people go for information, and said there's now an index for the proposed land use map outside Service Area 1, but only after closing of the comment period a few weeks ago. And he didn't think there was good promulgation of that by planning and zoning in terms of getting the word out on the plan. What do you think about land use outside Service Area 1? Is that something you think should go to election just of the residents out there or the overall borough?
That's a touchy subject, I understand. You know, I was here during the development of the borough and, all the discussion that ensued because of that. And, I do see that as an issue. I also think, though, that the folks outside of Service Area 1 do have adequate representation. There are kind of 2.5, even 3, Cindy, right? So 3.5 members who have either a property or a full-time residence outside of Service Area 1. You know, like John mentioned, that there's a 10-1 ratio with folks outside and inside Service Area 1, that if it were to go to an election, that would make it more unfair than I believe than if it were kind of brought to vote to the Assembly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 772-3808, call in with a question or a comment. What do you think? Should that issue go to a vote? Let's hear what you think. Tonight's the first reading of that ordinance. It has three total readings. The next one in early March, March 7th, I think, is the public hearing on that ordinance. So it'll be a three-reading process to talk about that comprehensive plan. It's a big document. It's on the borough's website, but there are lots of interesting points brought up in there. Some of the recommendations it talks about, things like what we were just mentioning, that land use map that for the overall borough, talking about how land is used outside the old city limits and inside city limits as well. It also talks about extending subdivision authority outside the old city limits, basically how you lay out subdivisions and what's allowed for streets and lot sizes and right-of-ways and that kind of thing. So that will all be part of the discussion. What do you think? Do you think the public process has been good, viable enough?
You know what? I have to think that it has. Based upon all of the public meetings and, I know that PDEC and a lot of the borough staff has gone over to Kuprinov, has had a number of meetings out at the trees in order to be able to facilitate those who maybe don't want to come all the way into town or for whatever reason. I think trying to outreach to those other locations was a step. I know there's been a number of meetings either both at Glacier and a lot of the coffee joints. It's hard to believe that people haven't had an opportunity to be able to contribute some word one way or the other about this plan.
Okay. Other issues on tonight's agenda? I wanted to mention the dock issue with the remote docks at Papke's Landing, Kuprinov, and Entrance Island. I was really hoping to have one of the three assembly members who went to Juneau recently, Mayor Mark Jensen, Cindy Lagadakis, and Bob Lynn, who just traveled to Juneau, met last week with the Department of Transportation about this and other issues. Had planned on having Bob Lynn here and not sure where he is, so we're hoping he still walks in the door, but I know Cindy and Mark both could not make it today, mm-hmm. So we apologize for that. I know you weren't up in Juneau. Any thoughts on taking over the three remote docks from the state? They've come back with an offer, basically, mm-hmm. saying a little over $700,000 for those three docks.
Which, I mean, if you're thinking about it on a capital basis, they cost a lot more than that to install. So, I mean, if we can get them for pennies on the dollar, I see that as being a beneficial thing, and also allows us to be able to expand upon those facilities as we deem fit. I wish I knew more about this, and I do look forward to also hearing from Bob and others who were able to meet with our representatives.
And it also, from the letters that I read that are in the assembly packet, it looks like an all-or-nothing kind of three. The three docks, or that's our offer, basically.
Good question.
From the
state. And I don't even know where Entrance Island is.
Somewhere up in Hobart Bay.
Okay.
Not that I've ever been up there, but way up north of here.
Okay.
So... I guess that's one of the three. And, hopefully we will hear a lot more about that discussion and the offer from the state as the borough talks about whether to go forward with taking those over. Another issue, Eric, that you mentioned, marijuana businesses and regulation mm-hmm. here in Petersburg. There's a good list of questions in the borough assembly's packet today mm-hmm. from the borough clerk that the assembly will be deciding on, I think, as the staff tries to hammer out an ordinance for regulating businesses. Mm-hmm. Let me grab that because that's a pretty interesting list of questions that the assembly will consider, things like: should the borough have a separate local license for marijuana facilities? Should the borough allow a marijuana facility on borough-owned property? Should the borough allow on-site use of marijuana at a retail location? Should the borough limit the hours of operation for a retail marijuana store? State regs state that the retail marijuana facilities must be closed from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. each day. And should the borough set a maximum number of permits within the community? Should the borough restrict any one of the four types of locations associated with the marijuana business: cultivation, manufacturing, testing, and retail? And again, a reminder, the borough can go stricter than state regs, but can't do things that are looser than mm-hmm. the current state regulations. Eric, any thoughts on any of those questions, things you'd like to see the direction go for the crafting of the ordinance?
Well, in response to question number two, should the borough allow a marijuana facility on borough-owned property, I say yes to that, because that would be the best method to be able to bring in the greatest amount of revenue for the community and to realize the benefit of the enactment of this ordinance.
Up to and including borough-run business, or...
Absolutely, yeah. I think that if we had a borough ran business where all the profits were to be ran, or if it were the business were to be ran like a business where you pay your employees, you get a 30% on the top, you know, for the sale of that the said item, then that's a good way to be able to bring in revenue. And and being as that, you know, we're arguing about hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent on various projects and nobody having the will or desire to be taxed any heavier. If we could reach outside of the normal demographic who's being taxed, such as property owners, then we can, I think it's a great option to be able to bring in excess revenue.
Okay. How about a local license for marijuana facilities? Is that a good idea for some kind of local regulation of it?
Absolutely. I think that splitting up the licenses for separate marijuana facilities, so you have you have one for cultivation, you have one for retail, you have your dispensary, you have your testing. I think all those licenses, permits should be issued separately. I think that just as a business licenses are free or a nominal rate, so it wouldn't be too expensive. I think that it would just kind of help our accounting purposes to be able to find out our number of growers and retailers, testers, testing facilities, you know. And with the state permit being as what it is, in the thousands of dollars, I don't think that we're going to catch any people who are just doing it on a whim. I think that all of these will have to be well thought out, and I don't feel that we should. We should limit the number of permits for certain practices, but yet for retail, I would be for the borough having sole access to retail. I think that would be the best way to be able to harness all of the profits possible for the sale of marijuana.
Okay. How about a local tax?
Local excise tax. Perhaps, we've discussed it being as high as 5%, I think that we're kind of looking at different ways of changing the way we call this revenue coming in. Excise tax is, I think that'll be a small portion of it. One of the big things I know is the revenue sharing with the state. So the state gets $50 per ounce sold, and we're trying to, like SICA, enact a 50%, get 50% of that back toward the local municipality.
Okay. All right. And you talked about the limits as well. No limits, you thought, but let's see, we cover...
no limits for growing, but retail.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about on hours of operation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the state has plenty lenient hours, but I can't see any business keeping people employed until 4:49 in the morning. I'd say, just allow local either businesses or borough to be able to have the freedom to be able to adjust those hours and kind of work within a relatively wide open time frame.
And just an update to where we are in the process. Staff is still basically drafting that ordinance, so it's not up for a vote tonight or anything like that.
Nope. Okay. Just discussion items. It's good to be able to kind of hear, I think, what the Assembly has to say. It's good to be able to voice, what we've discovered over the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks now since the last meeting. You know, there's a lot going on. February 24th was... the first day for the state to start accepting local or licenses and permits, so we're right in the midst of it right now, and it's kind of an exciting time for the community, I think.
We do have a caller on line one. You have a question or comment?
I'd like to tell Eric, thank you, man, for stepping up. New blood on the Assembly is a good thing. I think it's great. Smart guy, lots of good ideas. One of the things that I would take issue with, are you guys there? I can't hear you.
We are there. We're
good. Okay, good. One of the things I would like to take issue with is limiting the amount of retail outlets, at least as far as the borough goes, right? Like, if you're going to have a retail outlet for marijuana, the borough needs to not create a monopoly, right? You have to allow someone else to throw competition towards the borough and just have one retail outlet in town that's owned by the borough. That's not cool.
Okay.
And that's pure opinion, of course.
Sure. Okay.
And thanks, Eric and FSK.
Thanks for the opinion.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
All right. Have you heard a lot of other opinions out on the street about that new ordinance? Or
you know what? It does seem to be split between the two. You know, I know I'm all for opening up business opportunities for local operators and keeping big business or keeping you know, big government down. Yet in this case, I think that you know, if we the reason we are implementing we're legalizing marijuana wasn't because everybody just kind of wants to go out and get high. I think that you know, the overriding goal is to be able to raise income, be another form of revenue. And if we were to try to do that, then I think that that to have us be the sole proprietor would give us the best. We would have the most profits from that. However, you know, and I understand about you know, and I'm trying to open it up to other local businesses who may want to get their hand in the game. You know, and I feel that that would be a very democratic way to be able to run that, and I respect Dave's opinion on that. You know, it seems to be that you know, I'd say got a 2-to-1 to borough to opening it up to more vendors, seems to be the case. But you know, and even the minority has an opinion, and it's valid and it needs to be listened to.
Is there any rush on drafting this ordinance? Is there any reason that it has to happen quickly? You mentioned that we're in the thick of it right now.
Well, we're in the thick of it. The state has already come up with its bounds, and like you mentioned earlier, you know, we can make rules stricter, but no more loose than what the state has already given, such as the 500-foot buffer. We tried applying for a 200-foot buffer because that fits our local municipality better than it would, say, a place like the Matsu Valley. You know, we're 500 feet. You have plenty of places away from other establishments. You know, I think that we should be able to do this as well as possible, and instead of jumping into something before we're entirely ready, would be preemptive, and I think it'd be the best idea for us to make sure that, you know, we have the vote of the majority of the town, as well as you know, the whatever the assembly chooses to vote on.
Sure. Do you have another call? Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a couple comments.
Go ahead.
Well, since I'm a city employee, and so I don't think the city should be in the business of selling any vice, whether it be cigarettes or alcohol or marijuana. And secondly, the city is not usually typically makes very good profit. It's going to be very costly to do all the testing that would have to be done. A new building would have to be built, a new greenhouse. It would have to be protected, you know, it has to be not visible. There's a lot of hidden costs, and then you would have the employees. And then the employees themselves in the city of Petersburg cannot even smoke marijuana, so that would just be a giant irony that we would be selling it, but the very employees that grow it couldn't even smoke marijuana. So I think that's just a bad idea. Just when you really get down into the weeds of it, that's just not going to work. Nor will you make the money you think you will.
Okay, thanks for the comments.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. You know, and all we have to base upon is the precedents from the North Bonneville municipality down in Washington, and their borough is the one and only in their community, or the only dispensary in the community, and they have seen good profits. You know, albeit they have more folks who are who are able to kind of utilize the that resource. But it seems that there is a precedent set for there being just one dispensary. And like you said, you know, and, it does seem kind of ironic that that the borough would be selling a vice and that it tells others that they can't use. But I'm pretty sure that at least, you know, like you said, you're a city employee, but is it just have to do with a CDL, or is it all borough employees who are tested? That's a question I guess I would pass back to you.
Okay. Well, maybe that discussion will continue into tonight. Looks like we do have another call. We've sparked kind of a discussion here. Eric, can you stay around for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, caller on line one. You have a question or comment?
Hi, yeah, this is Nicole. I do. I it's interesting to me the way the whole marijuana topic is being looked at as such a different, in such a different manner than how the community manages alcohol. You know, the community was hesitant to even consider putting an additional tax on alcohol, though it did approve one for tobacco, when I think the amount of public dollars that are spent intervening on alcohol-related incidents is certainly greater than we see in tobacco. So I'm just curious that it would seem we would take a different manner altogether with the borough managing any type of marijuana outlet. I don't see any consistency. They're all different methods that humans use to get altered, and I would encourage us to look at them on par.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks for your energies, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it clearly seems like I need to have a few more guests on as we get into this topic. Sorry, Eric, to put you on the spot here and to be the soul. We do have a couple more calls, and we'll just let people get their comments in here. Okay. Let's see. Caller on line three, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I hear this talk about profit and stuff, but do they have any idea what they're going to sell it for? And I know down south in Washington, the illicit market and the above-the-board market are about the same. You definitely want to have a cheap enough price to everybody go to you guys, because you're fighting against the established underground. So they got any idea on the funding or what they're going to charge?
I don't think it's even gotten to that point. Has it, Eric? Or?
Yeah, you know, we've thrown around the idea of a base price of about $300 an ounce.
Okay.
Okay, I was just wondering about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And let's see, one more call. Here we go. Caller on line two, do you have a question or comment? Let's try to get them on here just a sec. Well, while I'm working on that, let's just cover one more topic tonight that you have a budget ordinance to approve, mm-hmm. Final budget changes for this current year,
yep.
Including the changes for the municipal building, police station, some of the transfers of money for that. Eric, any thoughts on that budget approval? That is third and final reading for those changes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that these the budget that the amendments that Carl has proposed have been excellent. He's really thinking outside the box in order to be able to get the most work done in our community for the least amount of money. Mobilization costs are far and away the biggest upfront cost, and if we can make use of the facilities, the resources that they have available here on town, it makes sense to be able to reach into the next year's budget, especially when we have enough room to do so, enough depth in our pocket, so to speak. One issue that I brought up, you know, was the transferring of the capital project monies from the Enge Bridge, you know, where there's $130,000 or so that will be transferred into the CECON paving project. And I just brought it up with Carl Hagerman about it this morning, and I mentioned how it seemed counterproductive for us to be able to take money away from what could potentially go into upgrading the bridge when we are forcing people to be able to drive down over the bridge. I've heard a number of residents who have who have been flummoxed as to why that would that's the case. You know, and initially you get on Chief John Lots. That used to be a two-way. It makes sense to keep that one way, but then to force traffic to the right past Sons of Norway and over a historic bridge seems counterproductive to what we're trying to do right now, you know, and trying to the preservation of our infrastructure. So, you know, we're he proposed an idea to be able to put down traffic counter right there to be able to assess the use of that and if it's risen from other levels when Seaside House was there, Tonka was there. So there's some things in the works, you know, and it isn't all as contentious as the marijuana talk, but you know, it's these are important topics for the community.
Okay, I think I do have caller on line two. You have a question or comment now?
Am I on?
You're on. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question. The borough here raises cigarette tax about $3 a pack here about, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year ago. But they were gaining $1 a pack at the time. And now I buy, roll my own. I pay $3 tax and it lasts me for a month. So I'm only paying $3 a month where before I paid $28 to $30 a month. So how do they figure they're going to make $500,000 more when they're losing $27, $28 for the people that were smoking and now they're rolling their own?
That's a good question. Last year, you know, the borough pulled in a little over $200,000 for the tobacco excise tax, and that number surprised me. I didn't think it would be that high when I voted for it, and honestly, I didn't vote for it because I didn't like where the money was said to go to. I didn't appreciate that the fact that the money was going to just go into the general fund, into a slush fund, and to be some sort of a sin tax. I voted against it down in California when I was living there back in college, and all my to all my friends' chagrin at the time, because I did vote for that one, excuse me, because they said that it's going to be going into tobacco rehabilitation programs, youth education, and cancer research, and a lot of other great funds that you know, could benefit from an additional flow of money, you know, with people who are using that topic or that's a, you know, substance.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Eric, for coming in and fielding all these questions on your own. Sorry we don't have other assembly members here, but lots more discussion tonight on all these topics, including the report from Juno and how the other assembly members met with state officials over various topics. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank
and you,
you
can
it's
hear
been fun.
That borough assembly meeting at 6 o'clock tonight on KFSK. Coming up next, Street Beat Music with Chuck Rose.